This is File 31, Cycle 2. Today's date is June 15th, 2016. This is Jean McMillan. I am interviewing... Give me your name.
Chris Brennan.
Sorry.
That's okay.
She's going to talk about how she came to the area, her business, several of the businesses and private homes that she's worked in, and we'll probably talk about all of the other civic activities she's done, including the Salisbury Association, of which she is presently president. We'll start with the genealogical information. What is your name?
Chris Brennan.
And your birth date?
March 17th, 1951.
And your birthplace?
Des Moines, Iowa.
Your parents' names?
Patricia Hansel Preston and Carol Preston.
Your mother's middle name or maiden name?
Maiden name is Hansel.
How do you spell it?
H-A-N-S-E-L.
Only one L, right? Mm-hmm. Do you have siblings?
Yes, I have 5 siblings. There are 6 of us altogether, 4 boys and 2 girls.
May I have their names?
There's Steve, Kathy, Chris, Mike, Tim, and Pete.
Educational background after high school?
I have a Bachelor of Science in Elementary Education, and I have a bachelor's degree in anthropology, cultural anthropology, and I have a degree in interior design.
Where did you get your elementary education degree?
Most of it was done at DePauw University in Greencastle, Indiana, and then I finished the last few courses at the University of Minnesota.
And how about your cultural anthropology degree?
The University of Minnesota.
And the interior design degree?
Fairfield University.
In Connecticut.
Ah,
good. Okay. How did you come to the area?
I came to the area because at that time I could live anywhere. My husband and I were doing a business where we traveled, so we chose to move to New England. And we landed in Salisbury. Actually, we met with Harold and Flory Corbin, who also, at that time, they lived in Falls Village and owned an antique shop, and we were very interested in antiques. And we stopped in their shop, and they helped us find a place to live, a small cottage, in the center, the village of Salisbury. They found us a small cottage that was for rent for $100 a month.
Oh, my word.
I know. Times have changed.
And that would have been in, what, 78?
1978.
Okay.
Is when we moved here.
All right. Now, you have a fascinating business. What is it? Why do you have it? And what do you do?
What do I do? Well, I'm an interior designer. I am an interior designer in the terms of architectural interiors. I design bathrooms, kitchens, anything to do with interiors. I also do help people with colors, fabrics, wallpapers, textiles, lighting, furniture for their homes. And I do a fair amount of historical work, but I've also done contemporary.
Which do you
mid-century.
Prefer? Historical or contemporary?
I prefer anything that has good scale
and
proportion.
Oh, good.
They all appeal to me. If it's good design and good scale and proportion, to me, that's the most important thing.
Now, I think you said that you started out doing primarily color, and then your customers sort of pushed you into expanding.
That's correct. When we first, we built our house in 1980. At that time, when my husband, Joe, saw an ad in the Shopper's Guide for flooring, antique flooring for sale. So he went up to look at it, and he actually agreed to buy it. And he bought it thinking that it was just flooring. As he was pulling it out of the barn, there were all of these wood-grained boards that were obviously a wainscot in a building, and they were all 18th century wood grain painted. So he bought everything, and because we had all of this wood grained paint, original, from the 18th century, I needed to learn how to do that, because we had doors and windows that needed to be painted to match it. So that's when I first started really looking around and finding how to do that. I found workshops. I went to workshops on Long Island, upstate New York, everywhere I could. And I learned as much as I could. So I got into the faux finishing, the decorative finishing, through that avenue, because I just kept doing more and more and more, learning more and more about how to do it. And that's where all of the color knowledge came from. Mixing paints. I mixed a lot of glazes, a lot of paints, and you learn a lot about color doing that. How not to make mud is the is the goal. So then I became a faux finisher, and as people came to me for color and faux finishing, they kept asking me for more and more.
Naturally.
So I thought I needed to learn how to, I needed to know what I was doing in the interiors, I felt, in order to really help people efficiently and well and do a good job. So I went back to Fairfield University and I got my degree in interior design.
When did you get that degree? What year?
I started in, oh gosh, it took me a while. I think I finished in the early 2000s.
Well, you had children, you had other things that you were doing.
I worked all day and I went to school at night and I had three kids.
Other than that, you know.
Give up sleep.
Piece of cake. When did you actually start your business? Not just the color part of it.
Oh, the color part.
That would be the
early
part.
I started that in 1985.
Okay.
1985.
Did your business dovetail with what your husband was doing, or were they separate?
Yes, there was, because of the historic work, yes. In terms of the historic finishes that I did, but I also did very contemporary finishes. At that time in the 1980s, there was a huge awareness of faux finishing that was very popular.
Oh, yes.
And it came from England. Jocasta Ennis was doing it. John Fowler was really the one who started doing that. And he was doing that in the 70s with John Fowler, who was a partner with Nancy Lancaster, who was an American. She came from Virginia. She was one of the Langhorn sisters from Virginia. And she lived in England.
Yeah.
So that's how that all got started.
Ah, okay. Now I'm going to ask you about some of the public projects that you've done and what specifically, whether it was design or color or faux finishes or what.
Okay.
And I may not have them in the right order, but we'll start with the daycare center on Salmon Hill.
Oh, right. That was the exterior colors for the daycare center, yes. And the visiting nurses.
Same thing, or exterior color?
Exterior color, yep. I don't remember doing interiors on that. I'm not sure why, but I worked with Leo Brewer on that. She contacted me for that.
Spell her first name.
L-A-O, Leo Brewer.
The library?
The library, yes. I did all the colors in the library, the lighting in the library, and the furniture of the library.
Now, we've had so many renovations. Which one was this?
This one was in the mid-2000s. It seems to me that it might have been around 2003, 2004.
Yeah. The Academy Building.
The Academy Building. I designed all of the interior, which meant storage, really, to make it efficient.
And you did a wonderful job.
Oh, thank you. And I designed all of the storage for for the second story, for the three groups that work out of the association, the Historical Society, the Land Trust, and then the Civic Committee. I did the colors and the lighting and the flooring.
The only question I have is, how do you change the light bulbs?
That's not easy, because you have to get on a big ladder, you have to unscrew the globe, pull it down. So it's not an easy task.
It's not easy. Tell me about the firehouse. Have you done any work inside on that, or is it still in flux?
It's all designed. What we did is we had a structural engineer come in and look at that and survey it. And everything, the interior is not, there are designated areas, but it's not fully designed. And the inside, it's very self-designed because of the way that the space works with the kitchen. A restaurant in the one area, the old area that's two-story, has the kitchen. So that's a natural design.
Yeah.
And that's what we would keep it as. We would keep it as a natural design.
It's more efficient and it's less expensive.
Exactly. And also it's a really wonderful building.
Oh, yes.
It really lends itself well to what we're trying to do.
Good.
So right now we're still working on getting the final permitting from the Historic District approval for the Certificate of Appropriateness from the Historic District Commission. They've approved the front of it, but they're looking at the parking and they have a few questions. But the landscape plan has been done for that too. Parking, landscape, all of that's been done and approved through planning and zoning at a public meeting.
St. Mary's.
I did the community room, the colors, the tiles for that. The kitchen had already been designed. That's basically what it was for that.
The railroad station.
We're still investigating the railroad station, but that, again, it doesn't need much. It's going back to the way it was originally.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
It's a nifty building.
It's a wonderful building. And again, it's in a great location.
Oh, yes. Oh, definitely. Now, I'm not going to ask you specifically about private homes, but can you tell me roughly about how many private homes you've worked in?
There's probably about 60. Some very minor.
Mm-hmm.
And some more extensively.
And I'm kind of assuming that when you started your business, you might do a room.
That's right.
And then it's sort of like Topsy, it just kind of grew.
That's right, that's right. And I've worked out, I've worked in Montana, Michigan.
Oh, all right.
Upstate New York in the Adirondacks. Maine. South Carolina, and New York City, multiple projects in New York.
How do people get a hold of you? Do you have a website?
I have a website, but it's not good. It's word of mouth. I have a website, but I don't have time. I agree with you, because people, that winnows out immediately people who don't understand what you're all about.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And when it's word of mouth, that people explain, and if somebody sees what they've done, they like it or they don't like it.
Oh, sure.
And then it's a vetting, self-vetting process.
But that makes it so much easier, because then you're not messing about with people that really don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah, exactly. No. That's right. That's right.
All right. Is there anything more that you'd like to add about your business before we move on to the Salisbury Association?
I don't think so. At this point, I don't think so.
All right. How did you get involved with the Salisbury Association?
I was asked to become a trustee, and it was in, it must have been around in 2007, in 2008, when they were just forming the Historical Society. So it was a natural for me to be involved with that.
Do you remember who asked you? Was it Carl Williams?
Yes, it was Carl Williams.
Yeah, he was out looking for people, certainly.
Yeah.
So you've been in it approximately 9 years.
Yes, that's right.
And you are holding what position now?
I am currently the president, serving a 3-year term.
And you've got heavy responsibilities with this accreditation.
That's right. Yeah, the Land Trust Alliance accreditation. It has been. I think it's all caught us a bit off guard what it involved, but it's been such a beneficial thing because it's allowed us to really update, become aware of, and then update our governance, which is crucial in today's world.
What is governance?
Governance is the way, is a framework for the organization to operate. There's policies and procedures that have been adopted that allow us to give us guidance to good best practice.
And that's been a long process. How many years has it been that you've been working on this?
Since I became president. Since
3 years. Then.
Yeah, 3 years. January of, what would that have been, 2013?
Mm-hmm.
January of 2013. Yeah, I walked right into it, not even knowing that this was happening.
That happens, doesn't it?
It does.
Yeah?
It does. Dave Heck said, oh, it runs itself. But it's but at that point, they had just begun.
Oh, sure. I know.
No one knew.
No one knew. When do you think you will actually be finished with this process?
Well, the pre-application goes in on June 28th. That's the pre-application. Mm-hmm. And then that gives us several months to
tweak it.
Yeah, exactly. If there's questions from the committee that's looking at it on the Land Trust Alliance side. And then the final application goes in September of 2016. So we're at the tail end. We've done all of the hard work, the heavy lifting.
There's a lot of it.
There is a lot of it.
Mm-hmm. I've been fortunate enough to attend a few meetings and was very impressed with the dedication of so many people to get this through.
Yeah.
Now, is this Land Trust Alliance, is it just state or is it national?
National. So we're meeting their standards and practices, which it's a guideline, a national guideline. Mm-hmm. And the bar is very high, but
it
should be.
Oh, yes, it should be.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anything that you'd like to add about the Salisbury Association?
Well, the quality of the trustees and the quality of everybody involved in it, with the Land Trust Committee, the Historical Committee, the Civic Committee. I love the knowledge and experience that people bring to the table and the discussions.
Mm.
I find them really energizing. I really... And Gene, for instance, I would never have had a chance to get to know you if it hadn't been all of the historical things. And I've enjoyed that so much.
I have, too. And I find it interesting in doing the oral history, and I've done a lot of committee members, a lot of them, and they all say the same thing. This is a special area. There are so many people here that have so many skills and so many gifts and are willing to volunteer and are dedicated.
Yeah.
And I hear this over and over again, and I'm thinking, yes, this is what you want. This is what you want to make a community evolve.
Yeah,
and we are evolving.
Yeah.
And we're evolving, I think, in a very good sense. It's a little messy at times, but...
Yeah, exactly. But change is hard.
Change is hard.
But I agree with you. Every committee or trustee or board, whatever I've been on, I've really enjoyed it because of the people mm-hmm. on the different people on the boards.
And you meet different people with different boards,
mm-hmm.
which I think is... Mm-hmm. Well, that just... leads us right into, tell me some of the other civic committees that you've been on.
I have been on the library board, the Scoville Memorial Library Board, for 2 terms, non-consecutive.
And this would have been mid-80s, for 15 years, and then you went back on about 2000?
Yes, that must be it. That's right.
And the next, another one?
Yeah, and then another one is the Salisbury Ambulance
Board.
The other one that
with the ambulance, that was in the 90s approximately?
Yes, in the 90s.
And how many terms did you do?
Did one term there.
Okay.
And then I was on Berkshire Hills Music and Dance. And that was probably in the 80s.
That would be in the 80s with Al Sly.
With Al Sly. That was great.
Yeah. That would have been fascinating. I used to go to all of the concerts and dances and whatever, and they were different. You know, it wasn't the same thing all the time. And I was, beginning teacher, and money was tight, but I tried real hard to go to as many of those as I could, and they were wonderful.
The quality that they brought was just phenomenal.
Well, Al had high standards.
Yeah.
Very high standards, and he was particular.
Yeah.
He was particular. Alrighty.
And then I was on the school board, the Salisbury Central.
And when did you do that?
I was on it for 12 years, which meant 3 terms, and I did that from the 90s up until like 2006 or 7.
Then I must have met you originally in the 90s when I was working on my book and you helped me with the weaving part.
Yes, that's right. That's right.
Because I thought I didn't have any of your children, so you wouldn't.
That's right.
You wouldn't have been one of my mothers.
You had already.
I retired.
Retired when my oldest was getting to be. She must have been in first or second grade when you retired, and then I taught for many years, 12 years. I taught ice skating through the Salisbury Recreation.
Oh, okay.
At Hotchkiss for many years, I did that. At least 12 years. At least, if not more.
Anything else? That you've done plenty. You've done plenty.
I don't know.
And that's another thing that I find with people, that generally they don't do one thing. They do several.
Do they? Yeah.
They do several.
For you to be able to, look at it and kind of evaluate how this all, the way people do things. Mm-hmm. That's pretty interesting.
Oh, yes.
This is my anthropology coming into
play. But that's, that's wonderful how people relate with one another and how they work. Mm-hmm. Before we close the interview, is there anything else that you'd like to add in general or about your organizations or your business?
The one thing that I think raising our children here, the 3 children, they've had such a wonderful, and they'll say this, they've really loved being growing up in the village.
Good.
Going to the village school, and that was a choice for us to keep them at the village school because we wanted them to know the children of the village. But it was a great experience for them to go through the village school and the summer programs. Mm-hmm. They did the tennis. They did the swimming. The swim team. They were all so involved. And then they did the summer jobs programs.
Yes.
The 2 of them did.
Yes.
And that was phenomenal for them.
And that's special to this town.
It's very special. So we never felt the need for them to go to camp or go away because we were like living in a camp.
Yes. Yes.
Where everything was available to them. Mm-hmm. And then the sports. They had their sports at school. They had their fall sports. They had their winter sports. They had their spring sports. The school they went downhill skiing in the winters. Mm-hmm. They had that with their school friends. So the kids had a great...
They had a well-rounded education.
Well-rounded. All the sports, every season. So I feel really good about that.
Good. And thank you for putting that in, because it's important. We have a good school system.
We really
do. We have
good
teachers.
Exactly. Really good teachers.
Thank you so much.
Well, thanks, Jean. I appreciate it.